Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review for September the 22nd, 2021. It was another active week within the markets as we saw them, and we'll go ahead and dive in today by taking a look at the major index overview as well as what occurred within Dolly over the past week. First off, taking a look at performance from that standpoint, we really only saw the dollar in positive territory, symbol DX/Y. The remainder of the indices we follow on this video were in negative territory, led to the downside by international markets with IFA and the MSCI Emerging Markets Index down over 2.6% each. On the domestic front, we saw pretty much all the U.S. equity indices pull back over 1%, led to the downside there by the NASDAQ 100 in this case. That was down 2.31%. In most cases, when we come over and look at the chart of many of the US equity indices, this one being the chart of the S&P 500, symbol SPX, we did see the charts give sell signals. In some cases, it was consecutive sell signals, but in most cases, we saw them trade down to levels that were lower than we saw in August. In the case of the S&P 500, it fell down to a level at 4310 that we saw in July. But with action starting this week, we've seen many of these indices rally back into a column of X's. In the case of the S&P, it moved back into a column of X's and rallied up to the 4390 level. On the indicator front, we did see the bullish percent for optionable stocks, as well as the bullish percent for the OTC, the SPX, the mid-cap 400, and small-cap 600 all move into a column of O's. In the case of the bullish percent for the optionable universe, that symbol being caret BPOPTI, it reversed down into a column of O's following Friday's action to 48%, suggesting that 48% of stocks on the optionable universe are still trading on point and figure buy signals. We continue to monitor these indicators as they are, many are hovering around the 50% level, still saying that in most cases, we find stocks still remaining on point and figure buy signals, but it is something to monitor your positions if they are giving sell signals and or violating significant support levels. Elsewhere on the indicator front, looking at the 10-week indicators, which measure the percentage of stocks trading above their 10-week moving average or 50-day moving average, we did see those move lower. And for many of the broader market ones, such as the optionable and the OTC, as well as the NYSE, they are trading near this 30% level, which the last time we saw a dip below the 30% level was in July. And prior to that, it was in September of last year. Much of this we continue to monitor as we have seen stocks generally move lower over the last week or so, but with yesterday's action, saw a lot of positive action out of them and a nice rebound. Elsewhere within the markets, we did see, as we noted, we saw many of the international indices move lower and were to the lowest, were the indices to the lowest on the downside. But in many cases, it didn't impact their charts that much. Just worth noting that looking at the iShares MSCI EFA ETF, symbol EFA, it moved into a column of O's at 79, but still remains on a buy signal they gave back in April, has formed this double top here at 82. Overall, the picture still remains intact from a technical perspective. Lastly, we'll come on over to Dolly to take a look to see what action transpired there. Not much change as far as our asset class rankings go. We did see commodities give up three signals, and the ones that picked them up, the asset classes that picked them up, were international equities, fixed income, and even currencies, interestingly enough, grabbed a signal from commodities over the past week. Within domestic equities, not much change on the size and style front. On the sector front, we've seen real estate move up to the fifth position, while basic materials has fallen to the sixth position. And then from there, we, with the exception of energy and basic materials, all the sectors picked up signals over the past week, at least one or two signals over the past week. While we noted commodities lost signals from the asset class standpoint, those rankings continue to remain the same. And really the only other change we saw on Dolly was on the international equity front as Africa Mid East moved up to the fourth position while Latin America fell to the fifth. Primarily that was on weakness out of Latin America. Fixed income and currencies still remain the same as far as those rankings go. For elsewhere on the asset class front, I'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. This week in the asset class group scores, we're going to review a similar position we've been in for many months, which is a relatively low money market percentile rank coupled with a very high percentile rank reading by the U.S. Corps. This is the seventh skirmish of selling pressure we faced this year. Not one of them has really been able to break the intermediate bullish percent out of this positive trending format. We are monitoring the situation. Levels are around 85%, but we've been in this kind of level range since March. And that's something to be aware of. But so far, still holding a positive level and chart format with the activity that's going on so far. Along the way, the asset classes, we've narrowed down to about seven blue groups. That means groups that score above four, which will be your ultimate leaders in the market, the core being among them, but certainly and clearly and definitively growth. Growth still in control, aggressive growth technology, mid, large, and small growth, still holding on relatively very well under the market pressures that we faced in September. But as we mentioned in a prior call, the momentums have moved down on the fund universes, meaning funds, indexes, ETFs, mutual funds, into pretty low field positions. So the momentum on the all equity funds, that reading is down near 20. We've seen that go below 20, over the years in a particular year. Not there yet, but still attractive, not attractive to get down to this level, but attractive for reversals up from these levels. And that's a key to remember, is looking for a next positive wave of momentum to come back into the average fund. And the 10-week, the moving averages, as we mentioned on the stocks, have moved lower, but on the funds have really moved lower. We're down in the 14% area here. Sometimes you see strikes at 10% or lower, but you're down in a pretty significant range. Again, uncomfortable to get here, but reversals up from this area typically are pretty good buying opportunities, something to monitor for any reversals up or upticks along the way. Keep in mind that as we've transmitted through the year, the average international fund has now made it all the way down to a score of three. The potential to go below the score of three is possible and something to keep in mind. Along the way, the long bond U.S. Has made it up to a score of three for the first time in all of 2021. Pretty significant week this week with scores there. Showing a pretty good up move. So you have a couple issues there. One is the non-US asset classes are part and parcel of some of the selling pressure here. Here we're looking at asset classes, non-US that score below the group of the score of 250, which is kind of a red zone area. And there's more than a handful here. And they're part of the issue, not totally the issue, of the average of all equity fund scores slipping further to be the lowest score we've seen in 2021 and following more of a downtrend in score. That's significant in this sense. As we notice the average scores of any fund or all funds and indices moving lower methodically, it really puts the importance on you, the investor and the advisor, to make sure that you're in leadership. This is not a sign, meaning average equity funds in a downtrend in score, is not a sign that you can throw darts at this market, but have to be very focused, very deliberate to make sure you're in the top leadership, which there is a top leadership. But just buying average funds in an allocation through any particular network, that doesn't work. I don't think that's worked all year. It certainly won't work now. This bolsters the reason for using the tool sets and being on top of the leadership in this market. For more on the top line, let's move over to John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. So looking at what went on with the momentum spreads this week, we still have that domestic spread that hasn't been able to break out of that long consolidation range. That continues to be the case here. And we saw momentum really underperform on the way down on Monday. But it actually had a very nice comeback yesterday, which was Tuesday. So we put two instances on our Twitter feed, what was going on with momentum in the morning where it was really underperforming, and then in the afternoon when it really recovered and shot ahead of the laggard. So that was a good good sign for momentum. And we see it again today, Wednesday, performing very well. Emerging markets has kind of turned around. We had a good week in momentum there, but it was the opposite for developed markets, which retreated a little bit last week. So David also mentioned earlier in the call about the US dollar having a decent week relative to everything else. That was the case, and we're still continuing to kind of trace out this longer, larger bottoming pattern here. So nothing has really changed from last week. The dollar did hold up well against a lot of the other asset classes that we follow, but we haven't seen a major breakout one way or the other in the dollar. Now, moving on to U.S. equities, we'll bring Joe on to talk about styles and factors.
Thanks, John. And, you know, over the past week, we've touched on already, we did have a pullback in most domestic equity indices. That really hasn't led to any changes. When we look at our Dolly rankings, we still see growth leading value, as Steve mentioned earlier. But really no major changes in the rankings that we're seeing right now. Either when we're looking at Dolly or on the asset class group scores page, you can see here we still have the growth groups leading. You know, kind of reiterating something from last week, small caps remain in that consolidation area. So something to keep an eye on moving forward, but no material changes there just yet. Really, the biggest thing we've seen this week in terms of the styles and factors is going to be when we look at the factors. Momentum, as we touched on last week, had formed a double top at 182. We saw that pull back pretty heavily here, forming a double bottom now, also getting its score below that 3.0 mark. So really something to keep an eye on here. We've tested this at the top at 182, tested here at the bottom at 174, and we'll see which way it breaks out moving forward. Next is going to be quality. Now, last week I did mention that, you know, quality had been the strongest of the four factors this year. It was a little concerning that it hadn't pulled back since it was on a stem. We did finally get that pullback here. You are at a weekly ever bought or sold reading of negative 54%. So you're encroaching on heavily oversold territory. But for the time being, you know, it still remains a strong scoring fund. This is one where you would look for maybe a reversal here to get some exposure to quality if you were holding off since it had been on a stem for so long. Moving down here, SPLV, the low volatility fund, hasn't had any material changes to its chart yet. It still remains with a fund score below that 3.0 mark. We still have seen absolute improvement on the year, but not enough relative strength improvement to put it as an overweight in your portfolios. Next would be value. We saw that pullback as well this week. That also has a fund score below 3.0 now at 2.99. So, you know, really on that threshold still. We'll see if it continues lower or if it can hold and reverse course here. It's formed a double bottom here at 100. It does have some support here at 99 as well. So even if you do get a sell signal at 99, you are testing some support there. Below there, you get to 95, where you would be a little cautious. That would also deteriorate the fund score if it did move to a sell signal. And with that, I'll pass it over to Ian.
Great. Thank you, Joseph. So the technology space has continued to pick up relative strength within across several of the rankings, specifically in the broad Dolly domestic equity sector breakdown. Honestly, all the sectors have moved lower throughout the course of the past week or so, but technology has benefited from that, picking up a few buy signals, so bringing it a little bit closer to the consumer cyclical spot. So now sitting just 15 signals away from consumer cyclical there at a buy signal tally of 183, and distancing itself a little bit from the third position there, which is financial. So still strength demonstrated there from the broad Dolly rankings. And when looking at some of the different subsector breakdowns, obviously we saw most of the participation standpoint retract from a near-term perspective over the course of the past week, with most of the bullish percent charts reversing down into a column of those. Many of the subsector positive trend charts have also shown some downside movement over the course of the past week. But one that has not is actually semiconductors. The positive trend chart for semis ticker PTEC semi on the platform, still sitting in a column of X's up there at a chart level of 66%. So that's indicating that 66% of the semiconductor stocks we track on the system are still trading in an overall positive trend. So that semi space has definitely been a place of kind of leading the way from a performance perspective within technology over the course of the past couple of weeks. And with the pullback we saw earlier this week, that could offer the potential for some buy on pullback, or at least certainly better price opportunities for some specific names. A couple to take a look at. One would be NVIDIA Corp. So ticker NVDA, it's a 5 for 5 on the platform, very strong within the semiconductor sector matrix. Reached high, relative highs there up to 228, has pulled back down towards the middle of its trading band. See a similar kind of picture from Synaptics Incorporated, ticker SYNA. Again, multiple consecutive buy signals, strong 5 for 5, and a pullback back down towards the middle of its trading band. One final semiconductors name to look at would be Lattice Semiconductor Corp, ticker LSCC. Again, similar picture, multiple consecutive buys, pulling back again, giving you a little bit better, or at least not as overbought opportunity there, should the semiconductor space continue to improve. One other name I did want to touch on, a name within the more kind of internet software space that has shown some recent improvement, has been Snap, ticker SNAP. That stock showed a big uptick yesterday, moving up over 6% to move back to a positive trend. So that stock has actually been a favorable attribute name since April of last year. And it ranks highly within the internet sector matrix there. So we do see some overhead resistance. The stock's currently sitting at 76, some more overhead resistance back at 77 and up at 80. But with that pushback to a positive trend, you got some near-term support offer at 71 and 70. So it could be a potential name to look towards for further improvement. So with that, I'll go ahead and throw things on over to Sarah to touch on communication services.
Great, thanks, Ian. Starting off with communication services, we see communication services here still hovering in the seventh position with 135 signals in its favor. Remains about 6 signals behind basic materials, so that will be one thing to watch as we move forward. But again, no real change here in signals or really on the asset class group scores page. So just looking at XLC, our broad spider communication services proxy, we did see this fund pull back this week from all-time highs at 86. To support at 81, remains on 9 consecutive buy signals. A move here to 80 would mark the first sell signal in quite some time, while a reversal up and a move to 87 would mark the 10th buy signal and a new all-time high. So about 42% oversold here, pulling back from some overbought territory, but no real change here in absolute picture. This is a good opportunity if you were looking to get in here to buy on a pullback. One first communication services stock I wanted to look at today is Disney. Disney actually violated its trend line with yesterday's action, is now testing support going back to July here at 170. The trend violation did downtick Disney to a 2 for 5. And if you just look at the technical attribute history, Disney has been a 2 a few times throughout this year, but it hasn't really consistently stayed a 2. Really, we haven't seen consistent twos or a weak attribute name consistency here for Disney since 2009 and then back again in 2003. So this will be one to watch. Again, we've seen it bounce back and forth between a 2 and a 3 multiple times this year. But right now, with the negative trend and testing that support here, this would be a name that we would want to, potentially weed out of the portfolio, or just make sure that, you're above your stops that you might have set. Moving on to Facebook. Facebook is a name that we've covered here often. It's a 4 for 5, but did move to a sell signal today for the first time since July. That last July sell signal did end up, resulting in a shakeout pattern. Here, this is not any sort of shakeout pattern. This is just a double bottom. So one to watch here, remains above that 336 line and then of course above the bullish support line. But if you were looking to buy and pull back here, you might want to wait for a reversal back up into X's, which would happen with a move to 356 or higher. And then finally, looking at the chart of Google. Google is another name that's been extremely strong within the communication services sector. It's actually one of the top performing names so far this year. It's maintained that market relative strength buy signal since 2014. It's pulled back from those all-time highs to the middle of the trading band, where it is about 16% overbought here. So another one to look at if you were looking for a potential buy and pullback opportunity. And then from here, if you wanted to wait for a reversal up, you would want to set an alert here for 2,848. So that's where the chart would reverse back up into X's from current levels. And then moving on to consumer cyclicals remain in that number one position. We did see it pick up a single or two over the last week, but overall, the relative strength story here is still the same. 15 signals, as Ian mentioned, above technology. So again, we want to continue to overweight this particular sector. And then just looking at the consumer cyclicals spider fund, we saw this fund pull back to 178 this week, as we did with the communication services chart as well. Remains on consecutive buy signals, and it actually does remain above support here at 176. So another fund that if you're looking for a buy and pullback opportunity, you could look to do here. But one thing I did notice is we just saw this fund experience a flip to positive weekly momentum. So this is one to watch as well to see if we're able to see that continue on to the next few weeks, which does have the potential to suggest additional upside from here. So 4.12 fund score remains well above that positive trend line. Again, one to consider if you were looking for a buy on pullback opportunity. And then within cyclicals, I just wanted to touch on Amazon. We had mentioned that had set up for a potential shakeout pattern. With the reversal down this week, we did see that shakeout pattern fail. So from here, we see Amazon is up against, getting pretty close to that trend line, remains on a sell signal. And from here, a move to 3,584 would return the chart to a buy signal, but remains a 3-4-5-er with positive weekly momentum, is 25% oversold here, but I just wanted to bring to your attention that shakeout pattern did fail. And then one good looking name here within the cyclical sector is Home Depot. Home Depot currently sits one box away from a bullish triangle pattern, which would happen at 340. So there is potential further upside here as it does sit a little bit off of its all-time highs hit back in May. 20% overbought, but again, a 4-for-5-er offering about a 2% yield. So this is a name to consider. Also, it's been a market leader here since January of 2012, where it's maintained that long-term market RS buy signal. And then one final name here within the cyclical sector that jumped out to me today is McDonald's. McDonald's been sitting at all-time highs now since July. It's a 3-for-5-er. Just saw a flip to positive weekly momentum and has an overbought reading of just 9%. So another name to consider here, it does have that yield attached to it as well. So if you were looking to initiate new positions, this normalization of the trading band does offer that opportunity here at this time. And then the last weak name that I wanted to touch on here in the cyclical sector is Wynn. We've really seen these, reopening names get hit, especially these like casinos and gaming and the beach related stocks, if you will. So this remains on a sell signal. It fell to 79 yesterday. So it's taken out all of its year to date gains. And then from here, there's additional support available at the 74 level. But overall, Wynn is now a 0-for-5-er, ranks 13th out of 16th in that gaming sector matrix, and just experienced a flip to negative weekly momentum. So this is one you would look to avoid at this time. And then lastly, we're looking at utilities here. Utilities ranks 9th in the sector rankings in Dolly. It still has a cushion around it between the healthcare and staples sectors. So, there's not really much to note here in terms of signal changes. But looking at the chart of XLU, similar to the other two sectors I covered, we saw the chart pull back this week to 66 from those 52-week highs. It does have support at 63, but we've seen this fund score deteriorate, falling below a 3 to 2.82. And on the asset class group scores page, we did see the utilities group this week slide below that 3 line for the first time since July. So it is back above in the green zone at 3.01, but definitely one to watch as we've seen, this sector take quite a hit. It lost a little over 3.6% over the last week. So it's up just a little over 4% on the year. So, we did see this sector pop for a little bit where it was able to move off the bottom here in Dolly, but just over the last 30 days, we've seen the sector get hit pretty hard. So just monitoring those positions, which brings me to the chart of the percent positive trend here for utilities. It remains at 66, so telling us 66% of stocks in the sector are trading in positive trends, but it is very close to reversing down here at 60. The closing reading there was 6.54. So this tells us that more stocks are moving to negative trends. So just making sure that you're watching those within specifically within the utility sector. And then so one strong name to close out here with is CenterPoint Energy. This is symbol CNP. It's giving consecutive buy signals, remains there at those 52-week highs here at 27. you know, it's a 2 for 5, but it does have that yield offer there. But this is one of the stronger looking names within the utility space. So with that, I will pass it over to Joseph for healthcare.
Thanks, Sarah. And we'll start out with healthcare. And again, looking at the Dolly rankings, not much has changed here. Healthcare remains 8th in the Dolly rankings. Now, when we look at the asset class group scores page, we do get a little bit more of a shorter term view. And when we sort the sectors by their score direction or their improvement in score over the last 6 months, we see healthcare is third there, with biotech at number one. So we have seen improvement over the last 6 months within healthcare as well as biotech. When we look at the Healthcare Select Spider Fund, XLV, still have a strong fund score of 4.31. Even with the market volatility this week, we did not see any material changes on its chart, no reversals or anything of that nature. It is trading in oversold territory at this point in time, currently trading at 131. So you're right near the middle point of that trading band, offering you an attractive entry point if this is something you would be interested in. And really, you know, we often touch on individual names within sectors. There is a subsector space within the healthcare sector that has been really strong, and that's going to be medical devices. I'm using the iShares US Medical Devices ETF, ticker IHI, as a proxy. It has a fund score of 4.60, positive score direction of 2.07, so really strong improvement. A good looking trend chart. Does appear to be on a stem, but with this week's volatility, it has pulled back a bit and is offering a more attractive entry point with a weekly overbought oversold of 37%. So this would be a really good play on the strength in medical devices. You could also click the All Holdings tab here and look for individual stock ideas. At the top here, we do see the three largest weightings within this ETF are 4s and 5s. And also with a few more down the line of 5s and 3s. So medical devices is a broad group. You could look for exposure there, or you could use the all holdings function to nail down some individual ideas. Moving over to financials, that remains the third ranked sector in Dolly. It was hit fairly hard earlier this week. We are seeing it bounce back today with XLF up 1.5%. When we look at the chart for XLF, it still has a fund score of 4.18, negative score direction. Unfortunately, we did see some material changes on the chart here. After thrusting higher, it's pulled back to 36.50, now in oversold territory with a reading of negative 34%. It does offer a yield of 1.5%, which is fairly high for an ETF. But you know, as long as we're able to hold above the 35-35.50 range and our fund score remains above the 3.0 mark, you know, this would be still a favorable area of the market. And then an individual name to keep an eye on is going to be Synchrony Financial, ticker SYF. It's a 4 for 5er. It's consolidated in this area here for a few months. You have strong support here at 46. As well as 44, and a yield of 1.86%. And it's trading right in the middle of its trading band, offering you an attractive entry point. So that's a name that you can definitely keep an eye on here moving forward. But overall, even with the material pullback that we saw this week, not too much has changed with regards to healthcare and financials overall rankings in the asset, either asset allocation tools, either Dolly or the asset class group scores page. And with that, I'll pass it over to Will.
All right. Thanks, Joseph. Today, I'm just going to start with a take on the industrial sector. It was in the middle of the pack last week in terms of performance. It did show some noteworthy resilience on Monday, despite still shedding about 3% over the past week. We didn't have any material momentum ranking changes here for the sector, so it's still sitting in that hold slash equal weight territory in our view. However, I would say that the rip currents are still present beneath the surface. We saw the group's negative score direction intensify to become the 5th most negative of all sectors on the group scores page now, which simply speaks to that deteriorating technical picture for the average fund. Participation also remains thin beneath the surface as broad bullish percents and subsector bullish percents are all in O's right now. On the bullish percent topic, something to conclude with and watch out for in the coming weeks is the land transportation group. This is currently down at 16%. The 2020 lows, you can see, was down at 6%. So that said, there could be some opportunities to take advantage of given the oversold, washed out status. But other than that, no real updates for the sector. That's all I wanted to hit on there. Now I'm going to move over to staples. It was among the best performing over the past week, given its naturally defensive tilt. It gained a couple signals in Dolly, but real no material updates there. It's still in the basement and remaining an underweight or a void in our view. Something to watch for over this week, though, is Costco. They are slated to put out earnings tomorrow, so it's September 23rd. Expectations are high. Stock's currently a five attribute name on a decent stem. Nonetheless, it's been one of the leaders in the staples group this year, the fifth largest holding in the Spider Select Staples ETF XLP. So this will be something to monitor. But right now, the technicals look fine. Perhaps putting in some near-term support nearby soon could be helpful as well. Last notes today is going to be on real estate. The sector also pulled back over the past week, but demonstrated notable relative strength. It gained four signals in Dolly. It's now single digits from overtaking industrials to claim the fourth rank. The bullish percent reading is still high, in at 70% right now, telling us that there's still a lot of healthy participation. Positive trend reading is also in similar territory. BPs are all north of 50%, with the exception of real estate development. So all of those are good signs. Also, to talk about the latest resilience for the sector, I wanted to put up this table that we had in our report earlier in the week, which is a short study on stocks within the NASDAQ mid-large index, broken down by sector, that have seen a 10% correction. The real estate sector had the lowest reading at 27% right here, meaning that 73% of names have not seen a 10% correction this year. So in aggregate, not much has changed, but the weight of the evidence here is still positive and investors can continue to dollar cost in. Those things that I'll pass to Jamie for his take on materials.
Thanks, Will. Not too much to report on the materials and energy front this week. Materials have now fallen to sixth in Dolly in the bottom half of the rankings, in the, you know, into underweight territory. We've also seen the fund score of the Spider Select Materials Fund, ticker XLB, continue to deteriorate, and now sitting below 2.5. Also, the fund had been going through a period of consolidation, and within the last week has kind of broken to the downside. You can see the sell signal given at 92. So, you know, right now, kind of pointing in the negative direction, that period of consolidation has, you know, resolved itself to the downside. Seeing weakness within the sector across, you know, several different industries, including chemicals, also industrial metals, both steel and copper. Meanwhile, precious metals also remain an area of weakness, which is nothing new. You know, at this point, given the decline in the Dolly ranking and, you know, kind of the deterioration we've seen, you know, it would warrant reducing exposure to, you know, broad sector funds, and then, you know, evaluating any individual holdings you may have on a case-by-case basis. Meanwhile, energy remains last in the Dolly sector rankings. You know, the fund of the Select Spider Energy Fund, ticker XLE, remains unfavorable at 2.45, but there have been some slight signs of improvement. Within the asset class group scores, the average fund score for the energy and natural resources group has ticked up off its recent low. You can see here that it reached around 3.3 back in August and now has ticked up above 3.7. So, you know, some early signs that that relative strength, you know, maybe gaining within the sector, but at this point, you know, still remains unfavorable, ranked last in Dolly. So, you know, definitely not not advocating that anyone, you know, take large positions in energy, but, you know, something to keep an eye on, as we have seen some, you know, recent improvement in the relative strength after what was a pretty marked drop in the relative strength rankings during August. That's all I have on materials and energy, and I will pass it over to Ian to cover international equities.
The international equity space has also certainly shown some pullbacks over the course of the past week, as have the domestic equity spaces that we just touched on. These pullbacks were definitely seen across both developed and emerging markets. However, the developed market spaces continue to hold up a little bit better than the emerging market space, obviously with a lot of the news coming out of the course of the past week, a lot of the broader market movement kind of stemming from the whole China Evergrande situation there, which we'll touch on more in just a sec. But the developed market space, as shown by the broad iShares representative ticker EFA, did pull back from a double top formation that it reached earlier this month up at 82 to a current chart position of 79. So still sits on multiple consecutive buy signals. We'll pull back from those relative highs with some near-term support offered there and a generally favorable or suitable fund score there at 3.06. However, the emerging market space, not so nice of a picture there. That chart did move to a sell signal back in July. It reversed higher in September, and now we see that chart reverse back down into a column of O's, and it has a 1.39 recent fund score posting with an intensely negative score direction of negative 2.70. So definitely see that broader weakness sustained from the iShares representative for emerging markets ticker EEM. And in looking at the international the NDW country index rankings that we have, we didn't see all that many changes over the course of the past week. However, we did have China finally move all the way down into that bottom position. It was sitting in second to last for the past couple of weeks. Moving over the past week, did tick it down into the bottom position down there at 43rd out of the 43 country representatives. India ticked up a spot, so it now sits in the second position out of all of the countries in that matrix ranking. Not too many other changes across the broad emerging versus developed markets picture. South Africa has been another area that's shown some substantial losses over the course of the past couple months, moving from the top quartile, rank of 10th, down to sit one spot in the top half. So if it moves down another spot in the rankings, it'll now then sit in the bottom half of the rankings. And looking at the asset class group scores page for the non-US view, we see a lot of the same themes sustained. The strength in India, the weakness in China. But an interesting point to notice is some strength in frontier markets equity. So it's a pretty small group on the asset class group scores page, not that many representatives, but it has a stronger 3.95 recent group score posting and a positive score direction. You can see some of the strength from the iShares MSCI Frontier and Select EM ETF, ticker FM. That chart has actually reversed back up to a column of X's with movement today to form another double top formation up at 3450. It sits on four consecutive buy signals dating back to April, strong 3.7 fund score. And we've seen that fund score really distance itself from the other two broader representatives over the course of this year, the course of the past year and a half, really. But more so specifically back in May was when that score really started to change. We can see in the blue line there being that score of frontier markets continuing to tick higher. Developed markets have really just moved sideways, where you see that big deterioration there from the emerging market space on the back of China. So those looking for exposure within international equities, story is really kind of more the same, and that sustained improvement from frontier markets could certainly be a place to continue to look toward. So with that, I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
Thanks, Ian. Not too much to report within fixed income over the last week. Treasury yields continue to mostly trade sideways, as can be seen here on the chart of the U.S. Treasury 10-year yield index. You know, it remains kind of range bound between that 1.275% and 1.375% range. You know, this obviously is a major driver of movement within the most of the fixed income market, so not a whole lot of action to report on. You know, the Fed will be meeting today. Investors will obviously be paying attention to the Fed statement and notes from Chair Powell. For any guidance on when the asset taper may begin, they are not expected to actually announce the beginning of the taper at this meeting, but potentially laying the groundwork for an announcement sometime later in the year. Within the fixed income market, the areas of relative strength remain the same as they have been for some time now. You know, we can see at the top of the rankings are convertible bonds followed by inflation protection. You know, at this point, some long duration groups making their way above that 3.0 score threshold, you know, thanks to some downward movement in rates within that range that we saw earlier. But, you know, at this point, you know, kind of those equity correlated groups like convertible bonds, high yield, kind of remain the areas of lasting strength that we've seen over the last several months. Moving on to commodities, crude oil has not moved much over the last week, still in that low 70s range, you know, where we were last week during our discussion. Meanwhile, we did see a pullback from natural gas, which has been on quite a tear. You can see that it reached up almost to 550 and then has pulled back significantly down below $5. You know, still remains in heavily overbought territory, you know, kind of speaking to how overbought it had actually gotten. Obviously, out of the two areas of kind of the commodities energy market, at this point, I would say natural gas still kind of remains the stronger area. Meanwhile, saw some downward movement on the chart of copper over the last week. It has been kind of range bound in the 4 to 450 range over the last couple of months, and that has not changed, but it did fall and give a sell signal at 420. So at least, you know, some short-term negative movement in copper, which has been reflected in the commodities market, materials equity market, which we discussed earlier, as there has been some weakening within that sector, specifically among copper producers. And that's all I have for commodities and fixed income. So I will pass it back over to John to wrap us up.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So the sell-off Monday really caused a deterioration in a lot of the indicators that we follow, but we seem to be getting a decent rebound Tuesday and today, Wednesday, as we're recording this. We'll be back next week to talk about any changes that we see over this week and see if this kind of snapback rally can continue.